rugged cross I will every true his shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away where the
and dominion and power be to God forever and ever.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
I invite you to stand and join together to sing our opening hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
us pray.
Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we, who celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection, may, by the renewing of your Spirit, arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us continue by affirming our faith together in this affirmation from Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation
will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
We are resurrection people. We are Easter people. That means we are a people of hope. There is no person or situation that is beyond redemption, that cannot be resurrected. What are the prayer requests, the concerns, the issues in this world and in our church family and community that you would like to lift up today? Lucy Hamby.
Steve Brock, he's in the hospital. He's a bad diabetic and got a lot of things going on.
What was that name, that second name?
Steve.
Brock. Thank you. Helen Weiniger. She's, among others, are on the back of our bulletin. There was some bad news on the other side of the world this morning in Sri Lanka, so I'd like for us to remember the people of Sri Lanka as well. Let us bow our heads and hearts now to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of the risen Christ, we praise you that you are so great that not even death can threaten to overwhelm us in life, now and when our earthly time comes to an end. You give us the promise not only of your presence, not only of resurrection, but of eternity with you. Abundance now and a life of everlasting, eternal love with you. God, we come to you this morning, somewhat like first disciples, who think about this resurrection and wonder how it can be so. Could it be true? Because it sounds too good to be true, but that is how your love for us is. That is how our life with you is, too good to be true. And so we offer you now these names that we've said out loud and those that we name silently in our hearts and our minds. We pray that your too good to be true presence and redemption and resurrection would be made known to each of these. Bring healing where there is illness. Bring hope where there is despair. Bring ministering angels. And if you see fit, use us to be those angels, to be the mercy, to be the love, to be the healing in the lives for whom we pray. We ask all of these things in the name of the risen one, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We offer our tithes and gifts as a holy and living sacrifice in response to Christ's sacrifice to us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gifts that your people offer to you and ask your abundant blessings on them, that they might reach around the world so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen.
From whom all blessings flow. Christ whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Now the gospel lesson according to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for your word. And now I ask that your Holy Spirit will mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears, that their hearts might be touched and transformed. Speak through me, and if not through me, speak in spite of me, but let your word be heard and proclaimed for the sake of Jesus and his reign in our hearts. Amen. Reading the little background commentary about this scripture, Luke, of all the four gospel accounts, is brutally honest. And the word that he used that got translated to idle tale was a word called leros, L-E-R-O-S. Like, it's the word from which we get our word delirious. They thought these women were delirious. Idle tale is an understatement. And the connotation of the word was something that you might think about a salty fisherman using, if that tells you anything. It was a very salty, colloquial kind of way of saying these women are full of something. So, and we're not so distant from our friends, the other 11 and all the rest, on Easter morning, whether it's today, 2,000 years later, or on that very first Easter. If your response to the Easter story is like theirs, wait, what? I really don't quite understand how that could work, then congratulations. You are hearing the text exactly as it was written to be heard. The early church, the early hearers of this word, thought the resurrection sounded like an idle tale. The early church, in its best moments, doesn't read this story to say, okay, it's all nice and neat and wrapped up now with a bow. It all makes sense now. Rather, we, like they, read it knowing we are left with the same decision that those first disciples, the women and the men, had to make. Am I going to go looking for Jesus or not? The looking is important because there is a big difference between a description and encounter. Have you ever eaten at an Italian restaurant in New York City in Little Italy? The waiters come up to you and say, would you like some more amore? The food makes your eyes roll into the back of your head. You know what it feels like, right? Not if you haven't eaten there. A description always falls short of the experience. When you're hungry, you don't read about food, you go looking for something to eat. My 4-year-old grandson who lives with us, Wesley, this morning, his mom, Mary, said, go look and see if the Easter Bunny has been here. And so he promptly ran over to the window to look outside, and lo and behold, he said, there's an Easter Bunny out there. Well, there was a little bunny on our front lawn. And so Mary had to continue to say, okay, well, let's look and see if the Easter Bunny left you something here in the house. And so he went down to the TV room and looked around and came back, and he said, no, there wasn't anything down there. And he said, but maybe there's something up here in this room. And he looked around, and he found his basket. He had an encounter with the Easter Bunny. It would not have been the same for him to have only heard about the Easter Bunny. It made all the difference for him to find the jelly bean gun and the giant chocolate bunny and the Peeps, although he did look at those Peeps and look at me and say, Grandma, do I play with these or eat these? I said, I think you can do both. The description of the resurrection isn't the point. Whether it is an idle tale or not, or that whether we figure it out, is not the point. The description, rather, is inviting us to go looking for something, to go looking for Jesus, who is still alive, so that you may encounter the risen person of Jesus. All the rest of Luke's gospel is about people who are surprised when Jesus shows up in their life. On the road to Emmaus, two disciples meet Jesus, but they don't recognize him. When he appears to the 12 disciples, and they're terrified, thinking he's a ghost. they don't recognize him. In both cases, they had heard the same story you have, but couldn't believe it until they encountered him, and that changed everything. The difference between description and encounter is the mistake so many people make with Scripture. When we encounter God, we want to share the moment, so we find words to describe those moments. It was holy, it was mystical, it was weird, it was delicious. I felt God's presence. And that's wonderful, but the description sometimes just can't convey the whole of the encounter. And the mistake that we sometimes make is thinking that believing the description is the point. Our scripture, our theological descriptions describe the encounters, and they are good words, but they will always fall short. You're not being asked to believe in the resurrection solely on what the words say. You are asked to be open to the encounter yourself. We all have that decision today and every day. We all struggle the same way Peter struggled, thinking, what if it is true? What if he did really rise and this life is not the end? The promise is resurrection in the next life after we die. If God did raise Jesus, then his teaching about how to live is right. If Christ is risen, maybe I better go looking for him. Jesus actually says this in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." And this is the encounter that we are beckoned toward. A forgiveness for free, for all and forever. You see, our resurrection, our life, is not only pie in the sky after we die, it is right now. And our resurrection began on the cross. It's rooted in the cross. The cross is where Jesus gives promise of presence. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And the cross is where Jesus speaks these most incredible words, "Father, forgive them." And therein lies our resurrection. Today, right now, in this life, our resurrection is rooted in forgiveness. Forgiveness for free. Forgiveness for all, forgiveness forever. It is free to us because it cost someone else. And the extent that you and I can welcome and receive and continually look for that encounter of forgiveness, that is the extent to which we will rise in this life now, be born again, be fully alive. What happened 2,000 years ago is still effective today and will be 2,000 years from now. It still sounds like an idle tale, the leros, the testimony. It still sounds just too good to be true, but it is true. Jesus is available to all who are willing to open themselves up and look for him. Don't expect to be moved from perplexed to joyful until you look for the encounter with him, until you open yourself to Holy Spirit and deal with whatever the obstacles are that get in the way between you and God. The proclamation of Easter is not the end of the story, it is just the beginning. The empty tomb is not the destination of our spirituality. It's an invitation to go looking for Jesus. Knowing about the risen Christ was never what Easter was all about. Hearing the so-called idle tale was not the point. Getting off the couch, out of the pew to go looking for ourselves, to be amazed at the possibility and working, because yes, it will be work, to tear down the barriers that we put up to Holy Spirit working in our lives, to encountering Jesus. That is what Easter is all about. You, like every character in this text, have been told something amazing. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to open yourself to the possibility that it is true? Are you going to open yourself by going and looking for the encounter with Jesus? Beloved in Christ, people shall be gathered from north and south, from east and west, to feast at the heavenly banquet of the Lord. Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenants to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence and boldness of God's children, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd invite those who are helping to serve to come now. When it is time, you will be invited to come forward by the center aisles. We will have two stations, and you can get a piece of bread and a cup of grape juice, and then you're welcome to linger and kneel if you would like, or return to your seats and pray. Come with joy to this gospel feast. Salvation. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
You have raised us with Christ and made us a new people.
A people of resurrection, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. To look for Jesus everywhere you go. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.